This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Welcome back in. We've got top stories of the day, and really, I mean, this is the story we're going to talk about. Lane Kiffin made his decision. He is going to LSU. He's there now. Foregoing the opportunity to, I guess, finish what he started with Ole Miss. Is there even a probably anymore, Mike? They're a playoff team, right? They're not going to... I don't think they would drop that much, would they? They're sixth right now. So, they're in the playoffs. Lane Kiffin decides to go to LSU. LSU basically is like, hey, you need to make a decision. You got to make a decision. The recruiting process starts now, and if we don't know by this weekend, then we're going to have to go a different direction. So Ole Miss, it was rumored that they kind of put an ultimatum on Lane, like, we need to know because we want to know who our guy is. Going into the college football playoffs, the future, all that stuff. And also the recruiting jobs never stop. They're working on that right now. So Lane Kiffin decides to go to LSU. He's going to get paid like, what, almost $13 million a year. He was getting 10 at Ole Miss. And he's going to get $25 million in NIL a year to spend on his roster. That's at least what the initial reports are indicating. How do we feel about it? Now, keep in mind, it's a very tight window, man. It's December 1st. Players can say they're going to enter the transfer portal, but they can't officially enter the transfer portal until January 2nd. And then they got to announce where they're going, and then they have 10 days until the second semester starts. It's botched. It's crazy. But you have the college football playoffs starting up in a couple of weeks. And this is also a crazy time because this is when coaches get hired. You know, we're going to be talking, hearing from Jim Mora, the new CSU head coach, later today. He won't be coaching in UConn's bowl game. And that's one thing. The bowl games are, that's one thing. But Mike, isn't this what it's all about? Getting to the college football playoffs to have a chance, like you're one of the best teams. You have a chance to go be the best team. That's what this is about. And Lane Kiffin put together this amazing Ole Miss team and is not going to finish what he started. So I'm asking the question, would you have done what Lane Kiffin did?
The capitalist in me says, congratulations, good for you. Go get the money that you are being paid.
I can see that.
The old fuddy-duddy person in me says, get off my lawn. You should have waited until afterwards. And I see both sides of the argument. I wish they would change things. I wish they could change things where it would be after the playoff.
Do you blame? So you don't really blame him?
I'm half and half. Because I understand. But also there's the players aspect. It's like, well, hey, we're here at this. We're all in for this team, and suddenly this guy who's been behind us the entire season just up and skedaddles for $2 million more a year. It's like,
Well, plus the NIL money. And then there's going to be incentives and all that stuff, I'm sure, too, that are going to be tacked onto that contract.
Yeah, if I'm a player, I'm like, this sucks. Like, it really sucks. And I can see it both ways, and I don't know. The football fan in me is really bothered by this. The capitalist in me is like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, well, and here's a good texter from Go Pokes. Would Ole Miss, he says something else, be loyal to Lane if he had a couple of bad years? No. So, I mean, this is just how it goes. It's the nature of the business. If he struggled there, then they would have moved on from him. It's weird, man. I blame the system more than I blame Lane Kiffin. Like, Lane is going to be labeled as the enemy of college football now, which, hey, it's a storyline, and it's fantastic. This is very entertaining stuff.
Well, I mean, he's always kind of been this guy who's easy to hate.
But when he went to Ole Miss, it was like he was reformed, like he changed his ways. You know, this is my spiritual home, and I talk to God, and he's saying he talked to pray to God about going to LSU and all that, and it's the big job, right? I mean, that's one of the big jobs, maybe one of the biggest jobs in all of sports. It's a hell of an opportunity, but with Ole Miss, you put together this thing, man, and you could have taken a, you know, bottom of the barrel SEC team, made them relevant in that conference, which is very tough, and then win a playoff game, maybe. I don't blame him. The system is so jacked, Mike. We have college football playoffs, and we have a coach that got him there and is not going to coach his team in the playoffs. Do you blame Ole Miss for not wanting him to stick it out? Here's my question, and maybe some of our listeners would know. Would LSU let him coach Ole Miss? Or maybe they want him to because he can get intel. I don't know. Intel. He's already got all the intel. But if I'm LSU, do I want him spending time game planning and prepping and doing all that stuff with Ole Miss when he needs to be in his office at LSU recruiting and preparing for the next season? Because that's what guys are doing. That's why Jim Mora got announced so quickly, and he arrived in Fort Collins last night. The time is now. You're probably already late. Jim Mora is already probably behind the eight ball in recruiting. Everybody that just got hired is behind. So my question is would LSU have even allowed this? If Ole Miss was like, yeah, we're fine with it, stick it out. I don't think fans wanted that. But would LSU be cool with that?
I don't think they would. I mean,
I wouldn't. If I'm LSU and I just hired you?
I hate to say it. I think this is probably the best thing to do. Just say, you get the hell out. And he says, I'm getting the hell out anyway. Like,
yeah.
I feel like this is the best thing because there's no good way. But how many fans feel betrayed? Because LSU did have, Ole Miss did have an offer out there.
Yeah.
How many players feel betrayed? Because, like, they were in on this coach.
Smitty texting in, the NCAA needs to change the portal window to June for all sports so that it matches up with the academic year, no matter if they are on quarter or semester systems. The jacked up part of this, Mike, and they've just recently changed it, so there's just the one transfer portal period now for football, and it's January 2nd. The problem with that is the second semester starts January 12th. So players that are, like, right now, whether you're going to a bowl game or not, you're determining whether you want to stay at that current school or not. And when you tweet it out that I'm going to be entering, if Owen Long for CSU tweets out that he will enter the portal in January, you know he's going to get contacted when he's not supposed to be contacted. At midnight, at 12:01, January 2nd, guys are already going to know where they're going. And how is that possible? Because they weren't supposed to be visiting. They weren't supposed to be talking about money and all that. So how is that possible? Go Poke says, I think the money for players was the separation between the two offers. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's like the money for him personally. The guy can make up $2 million in endorsement deals. I mean, he can. He's that popular of a guy. I do think it's the NIL stuff. Texter says, a lot of blame is being labeled as Lane. What if the driver of the friction was the LSU admin telling Lane what to do on the way out? Well, and yeah, wasn't Lane Kiffin trying to get coaches basically saying, hey, you got to get on that plane with me or you're not going to have a job. We got to start now. We're starting now. So you got to make a decision. You're either going with me or you're staying at Ole Miss to see this thing through. I think it's just the system. As much as I want to get on here and say I blame Lane Kiffin, I think it's a bad move. He's a jerk to those student athletes that he claimed to love so much. It is more money with NIL, and if you have more money, the job just gets easier. Do you want your job to get easier or harder? Most people are going to say easier. I would like my job to be easier. I don't want more variables.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think also some of this, the reason why I'm leaning against my capitalism is because I also hate Lane Kiffin and have hated him for a long time. Even though I understand and I kind of agree with him, I just don't like the guy. And it sucks all the way around.
This is an interesting text. Aaron says, now granted it was the 4 playoff, not the 12, but if the committee thought Florida State was a different team without their starting quarterback, I wonder what they think about a head coach. Does that mess with the rankings at all?
Oh, yeah. This will mess with the rankings.
Will they still
sure.
get in?
Yeah, well, Florida State would have gotten in, I think.
But then they moved them down because of the quarterback situation.
Yeah, because they didn't have their starting quarterback.
Correct.
And they got blown out by Georgia.
Right. So will Ole Miss still get in?
Probably not. Probably there's, I don't see a world in which they get in unless they somehow become one of those.
Well, they're sixth right now.
Other conferences.
They're sixth right now, and they're not in their the championship game, so they can do no more. So it's really just a matter of like if Alabama wins and BYU wins, do they knock? We were just talking to Brock Wisney. Are they going to knock Notre Dame out, or will the committee say Ole Miss isn't going to be the same team? So we're knocking them out.
They're not going to be the same team.
Are they really going to
piss off a lot of fans?
That would be jacked
in every direction. But if you put them against one of the G5s, like the G5 team has a real chance of beating them.
Wow, this is wild. If Ole Miss ends up not getting in because they change their rankings because of the coach, then that's even going to be worse. Lane Kiffin will be labeled as a program destroyer. Maybe he already is. But if they miss out on the playoffs because of this, that's even worse, man. But like I said, I just have a hard time really blaming Lane Kiffin for this because of the timing of it. There needs to be a sharper system here, man. There needs to be a better way of if a team is hiring a coach, they can't have them start if they're with another team. But then they get behind in the recruiting, so then that coach won't get as many looks. There's got to be a different way. And we have recruiting restrictions and stuff, but nobody follows them. So if you're LSU, you did the right thing. You want a coach that's going to come bring LSU back to where they were in 2019. So, and you want that guy to start now because you're already behind. You need to start recruiting right now and building up your coaching staff and figuring all that. Because this is a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work. So you have to, you can't really blame LSU. I don't think you can really blame Ole Miss either. Because they're like, hey, is our interim guy going to be the dude or what? But we need to be focused here and our fans don't want you here. So they don't want them. They don't want Lane to stay there. And then Lane, it's a better job. I mean, in our society, most people, if they get an upgrade in their job and they're going to move or whatever, and it's a significant amount of pay, not life-changing for Lane Kiffin, but in a capitalistic society, then it would be a no-brainer. So
I just wish there was some kind of, you know, the 2 weeks notice that we traditionally have in our society. Oh, you give 2 weeks notice, that's kind of cordial. You can help them in the process. Like, that would be great if the system was different. Aren't you tired of saying, oh, the NCAA system? Aren't you tired of just blaming them?
Yes.
But it's always them. They just have bad systems.
Let's read some text. Travis, the new guy. It's sports. It's a beautiful thing. Doesn't have to ruin our life. Take it for what it's worth and enjoy the daytime drama. Well, it doesn't ruin my life, but does it ruin certain players' lives? I mean, there's guys on that roster that might not cross over and go to LSU. So this is their one opportunity to be in the... This is what you play college football for. Anybody that's in the FBS plays for hoping to win their conference or be ranked high enough so they can get into the college football playoffs. So that's why you do it. Eastside Chris says Brian Kelly goes to Ole Miss. What do you think?
I would love that.
That would be hilarious.
I would love to see that.
Big Hub says, so is it a good thing we're leaving the Mountain West? Because how does New Mexico not get in? UNLV lost to them. This has been the oddest year of college football yet. Yeah, the Mountain West, too. I want to get into that. They had to go back to the computer voting system because they had a four-way tie. And the computer system seems to believe that Boise State UNLV would be the better matchup, even though New Mexico, I would say, would break the tie. Like, what are we doing here? They're tied records, and New Mexico beat UNLV. So shouldn't New Mexico be in over UNLV? I guess, yeah. It's really,
I guess, records don't matter, Brady. They don't matter.
Records don't matter. Head-to-head don't matter. We're back to where we were 20 years ago. Like, it doesn't matter. It's what the computer tells you what would be a better matchup.
Yeah, I'm glad they're getting... CSU's getting out of that dumpster fire into a brand new dumpster fire.
Maybe.
But hey, at least they have a coach.
Faith says sports definitely has become more heartless every year. Yeah, and you know what Lane Kiffin's going to do with that $25 million. He's going to go out and he's going to go instantly get the best players he can possibly get. And if some of those guys are Ole Miss players, he's going to do it. Absolutely wild. This, I mean, whatever side you're on this. Many schools on quarter systems start the next term on January 5th. I didn't know that. Maybe Ole Miss getting snubbed is what needs to happen for real change to take place. The real change is this, guys. You got to make these players contracted players. So they're already signed. So when you do, the urgency to hire Lane Kiffin with that $25 million in NIL isn't there as much. Because he can't, if there's guys signing contracts, then that's it. They signed a 2-year deal. He can't go out and poach with this $25 million. That's the only way that this kind of cleans up, which means they're no longer student athletes. They're just paid employees. And I think you opt into that if you want to do that. I think it's going to be fascinating. And maybe not for the better. 23 minutes after the hour, we have a good interview coming up, Mike. Excited to catch up with Bobby Wilson. He's the host of the TNT College Football Podcast. And he talks a lot of college football, but he talks UConn sports, UConn football as well. So he's going to talk to us about how they're feeling over there and what CSU's in for with Jim Mora. Like, this is a big day for Colorado State. So we're going to catch up with him in just a moment. But, Michael, let's take a short break here. I want to shout out to one of our excellent sponsors, and that's Big City Roadhouse. I was just telling Brock, man, said he had food poisoning. I'm like, hey, go to Big City Roadhouse. That is anti-food poisoning stuff right there. Delicious. Breakfast burritos, 10 a.m. to noon every single day. That's the old Cables location. Do me a favor, stop by Big City Roadhouse. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. 24 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Bobby Wilson will join us, host of TNT College Football Podcast at the bottom of the hour. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Watch games and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to get into this, too. If the Broncos hadn't pulled that off last night, you know what we'd be talking about? I know Tanner and Brian were talking about the officials this morning. They missed like two pick plays. One for the score, the touchdown, in overtime. It was, and then the two-point conversion, when Jeremy McNichols gets free, that would have been a touchdown, right? If Nick Benito doesn't knock that down. Chris Moore goes right for Hufanga and lays a shoulder into him. That should have been off-ball pass interference. So, luckily, Nick Benito did that, or we'd be talking about two missed off-ball PI calls.
They missed a trip and a hold play, same guys.
Right.
I don't know where their eyes were.
Dude, they weren't. And then the intentional grounding one against Mariota, you remember that? And that they had to call intentional grounding because they can't put a flag on the field. So that was a trip, too. They tripped, whoever it was, tripped Mariota.
Yeah,
this was
but
an
he
awful
was also
game.
Being held.
He was being held. It was a trip. Then it was intentional grounding, and some argued it wasn't intentional grounding. All right, 12:30 the time. We've got a fun interview coming up, I think. Fun for us. We'll see how Bobby Wilson's feeling about this. Host of the TNT College Football Podcast. They talk a lot of UConn football over there. So what are his thoughts? Is he happy for Jim Mora? Let's catch up with him. And what can Ram fans expect from Jim? I'm going to get some details from a guy that followed this program closely. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. Big day here for Colorado State as Jim Mora will be officially announced as the next head coach for the football program at 3 o'clock today. So certainly feels historic. It really does. It's an exciting time here in the northern Colorado area, no question about it. How are UConn people feeling today? Joining me now, I am really excited about this next guest, Bobby Wilson. He's the host of the TNT College Football Podcast, and you got to check him out. They're talking college football and the national scene, but certainly getting into all things UConn as well. Bobby, my friend, thanks for being on with us, man. I really appreciate the time.
Absolutely, Brady. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man. I want to talk at the end of this show. I want to make sure we give our listeners opportunities to find your podcast and everything. But what was your initial reaction? What was like the fans' initial reaction when they find out Jim Mora is going to Colorado State?
Well, I'll speak for myself first. I'll say I was shocked. Honestly, well, initially I was. Then when I got to think about it a little bit, I mean, I know that Coach Mora is from that part of the country, and I don't think that anybody, if they were presented with an opportunity to go back closer to home, doing something that you love to do, I can't fault a man for wanting to do that. I know I'm a former head college basketball coach, and I know if I was presented with an opportunity to go back home where I'm from in Michigan, it would be an exciting thing. So I can't fault him at all for that. Speaking for the fan base, I'll say, I mean, I know that there was definitely some shock for sure. Depending on who you ask, there's some betrayal. I think the fans are more so appreciative of what Coach Mora did during his time at UConn, because let's be honest, from a national perspective, especially if you talk about UConn prior to Coach Mora, especially that time, that stretch from the mid 2010s into the early 2020s, UConn was one of the laughing stocks of college football. And Coach Mora obviously brought us out of that 3 out of 4 years, making it to a bowl game, back-to-back 9-win seasons. So for me personally, I know I'm very, very thankful for what he did, helping put UConn football back on the map.
We're talking to Bobby Wilson, host of the TNT Football Podcast. And, of course, he spends time covering UConn. And I'm sure that this has been maybe the topic for a while. You got a pretty good basketball team, too. I don't know. You know, there's a lot to talk about there. But on the football side, I know this has probably been a pretty significant topic. I mean, we see this. We got the Lane Kiffin stuff going on. And, hey, at least it's not going down quite like that for Jim Mora. But this is the tough part of the business where you get a coach, no matter the age, whatever, they turn a program around, and if they see an opportunity, more money, more whatever, different conference, going to the Pac-12 seems maybe like it might be a step up, but we don't know that yet. We'll see what happens with the Pac-12. But it does leave a lot of fans, players, families in the wake, and we see it nationally, and it sucks on the other end.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a business at the end of the day. I mean, it really, really is. It's like I said, I was a part of it. I was a JUCO and D3 head coach, so I can speak to it a little bit. Now, obviously not on the level that UConn or Colorado State are at, but when you're making those decisions on what to do, you're affecting your family, but you're also affecting a lot of other families and young men and women as well when you make that decision. So, I mean, it's not something you can take lightly for sure. And I know I just from some of the things that I've heard, read, people I've talked to, I know that the opportunity to be closer to home obviously is big for Coach Mora, but I've also heard from people I've talked to that being a part of the Pac-12 conference and having that affiliation is a big deal. And I know UConn being an independent, it's obviously tougher from that standpoint. So I think that certainly played a role into things as well.
Yeah, we actually caught up with a friend of his, a former teammate, roommate, Hugh Millen, last week. And, you know, Hugh even mentioned that, like in a text thread, they were going back and forth. And Jim looked at this and said, man, if we can win the Pac-12, then there's that path to get into the college football playoffs, which does seem realistic. I know this year it was a really strange year in the Mountain West Conference, but last year, obviously, Boise State, we know what they did. So, basically, we're taking the better version of the Mountain West going to the Pac-12. It would seem that, hey, if you can find a way to win that conference, you're going to have a realistic shot, assuming the rules stay the same, but you're going to have a realistic shot to get in.
Absolutely, and knowing Coach Mora and the way that he does things, I know he's going to be able to get the CSU program rolling rather quickly. I mean, what he was able to do at UConn in that short time that he was there to get us up to where we're currently at right now, I firmly, firmly believe that he will do the same at CSU.
Talk to us about his coaching style, because, I mean, you know, you follow him, you see his records. I mean, I remember watching him when he was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. But I couldn't sit here and tell you, like, what is his philosophy? What's his strategy? Talk to us a little bit about that, you know, because right before this happened, I was tweeting out. I was like, man, I want to see a coach for CSU not necessarily be a play caller. Maybe a coach that's cool with the idea of a mobile quarterback, and we're gonna go find that guy. Does he check those boxes, in your opinion?
I absolutely think so. I think one of the big things that Coach Mora has been able to do, especially in the modern day football, is adapt very well. He still has those old school roots that he has, and he always will. He's always going to be that type of coach, but he's done a tremendous job adapting to the current way of college football. I'll say he's found ways to implement different wrinkles into, I'll say, the UConn offense, in the defense in particular as well, with the different wrinkles that we have that have just really, it's been entertaining for the fans, I'll say. And I think that CSU fans will love what he brings to the table, meshing that old school mentality with some of the newer tendencies of today's game.
Yeah, I'm excited. Well, and, you know, the other question, too, there's always names thrown out. And one of the questions we're asking now is, hey, what's that coach's philosophy on NIL? Like, are they those? We've had them around this area where we've had, you can just hear it in their voice. They don't like it. They're not in on it. And they're not going to be in on it. How does, like you said, he kind of has evolved like so many coaches have to. What is his view on the current landscape when it comes to NIL?
Well, I know initially at UConn, we struggled in that mindset from the NIL and money perspective. And he was big on helping the program get more and get what we needed to have the team that we needed the past 2 years in particular. So I'm sure initially, like many coaches, he was like, this is just me speaking, but I'm sure initially he wasn't a fan of this, as most old school coaches probably are. But at the same time, like, you understand the landscape of how things are working, and you have to adapt, because if you don't adapt, you're going to get left behind. And he's done a tremendous job with that. And he did a tremendous job at UConn when it comes to the Huskies in particular, raising the funds and NIL budget that they needed to succeed. And I'm sure he'll do that at CSU.
Yeah, that would be huge. I mean, with CSU hiring, you know, their current athletic director, John Weber, this is a business guy, you know, and we're seeing this across the country too. It's not so much guys that have gone up through the ranks to become a sports director being in that field. We're almost seeing a different turn where these are more business-minded people that really succeeded in the business side. And then they bring it over to the college landscape. So raising that money is huge. And that's on the priority list here for John Weber, for Colorado State. As far as players, and now we're seeing it like crazy, man. This always happens. It's happening to everybody, though. Guys tweeting it out that they're going to be entering the transfer portal. And now, obviously, our algorithms have changed. So we're seeing UConn players get into that, announcing that they will be entering. When is it? January 2nd. Are there some big names that you expect to potentially be a CSU Ram here in the near future?
I mean, I don't know any particular. I will say that. I mean, inside on any of that type of information. But I will say, I mean, Coach Moore built great relationships with all of the players that are part of the UConn football program. So it would not surprise me one bit if a handful of guys come along with him. The thing I will say is he did a great job building a brotherhood for Husky football. So I know that a lot of those guys are committed to each other and have built a good brotherhood. And I know that's kind of a cliche thing in sports, but he did a great job with that. So it wouldn't surprise me if some of those guys came along. I know, some of the bigger names that have entered from the UConn perspective, Cam Chadwick is a multi-year starter at a defensive back. Murawski, one of our stud offensive linemen, he's going to be a future pro. He just entered the portal. I have a feeling that he's going to get a big Power Four payday, in particular for him in particular, but you never know. But there's going to be other guys too that enter, and we'll just have to see how it goes. I know a lot of the high school recruits that we had committed have since decommitted, so I would expect those guys in particular to probably follow Coach Moore to CSU.
Yeah, it'll be another interesting part of this to watch kind of how that progresses. Again, you see it nationally. Last one for you on the Jim Mora side of things. You know, I was seeing his name pop up. All, you know, ESPN's talking about him halfway through the season. If this is a guy that should be on a lot of schools' radar, Power Four schools, Oklahoma State's name popped up, some of these other schools. And I guess we've already kind of answered that, but, you know, he probably had those opportunities to go to one of those schools or at least interview and instead chose CSU. But from what you said at the beginning, it might be the idea that, hey, what is he, 63, 64? I got a realistic chance to go here and go to the playoffs and really kind of cement my legacy, as opposed to going to a maybe middle to bottom of the road Power Four team and just kind of go back through that rinse, wash, repeat, where if you don't get this thing up and going in 3 years, you start all over.
I think that's the key right there. I think in the current state that he's in, I think he really wants to just go to a place where he can kind of win now, kind of build it rather quickly. I think at some of those Power Four programs that, like you mentioned, I mean, it's going to take a year or two or more to even build it up. And I think that just the opportunity that presents itself at CSU, the fact that he's from that neck of the woods as well, I think it just was an opportunity for him personally that he just couldn't pass up.
Bobby, appreciate this, man. It's been excellent. How can people find your podcast? And, you know, I got about 30 seconds here just to kind of mention like what you're talking about on this, because I'm going to be checking this out. I've got it already bookmarked here and in my podcast download. So I'm really curious to learn more about your program.
Well, thank you. It's the TNT College Football Podcast. I named it after my kids. I have three T's.
Awesome.
And I talk nationally, college football, but I have a weekly show covering UConn football with a former UConn Husky football player, Pete Callen. Him and I, each and every week, we jump on and we talk UConn football. And then I myself, I'm being a former coach, I tend to focus more so on the coaching side of things and some other different things. And then some of my traveling that I do when it comes to college football as well.
Well, this won't be the last time we reach out, man. I would love to talk more college football with you down the road. And I'll be a listener of yours, my friend. And we'll look forward to catching up with you, sometime, hopefully very soon.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Bobby Wilson, host of the TNT College Football Podcast, 12:49 the time. Michael, we'll take a short break. We got to go here up against it. Great stuff, though, from Bobby. And no names right now, no big names that we can talk about, but I thought it was fascinating just kind of hearing more his reasoning behind going to CSU as opposed to like thinking about an Oklahoma State or something like that. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
We're gift wrapping the best sports broadcasts in the state. Hear Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, and high school sports on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
All right. 12:54 the time. That was fun. Thanks to Bobby Wilson for joining us, host of the TNT Football Podcast. And, hey, it's an exciting day. I'm going to head out this afternoon. 3 o'clock today is the opening press conference for Jim Mora, as he will be introduced as the next head football coach of the Colorado State Rams. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people there. It's open to the public. So it'll be inside Canvas Stadium. Hope I don't get lost. But I'll find my way, Mike. I will find my way there. Coming up next, we got buy or sell. And then we'll get into the NFL playoff picture. Also, more on the Lane Kiffin stuff and the Broncos dub over Washington. They got the win, Mike. They're 10-2.
Bad Washington.
They're 10-2. The bad, well, they were almost beat the Broncos. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.